In this episode of the On.net show, we're going to have Nikolov joining us, and he's going to be talking to us about the Windows Community Toolkit. Welcome to another episode of the On.net show. My name is Cecil Phillip, and today I have with me Nikolov. How are you doing today, man?
I'm good. How are you doing, Cecil?
Doing pretty good.
Thank you for inviting me.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and like what team are you on?
Yes, so I'm part of the Windows Platform App Experiences team. Mm-hmm. I work on the mostly with developers and with the ecosystem of developers that work and they build applications for Windows.
Yeah.
Specifically focusing on the Universal Windows Platform, and I maintain a library called the Windows Community Toolkit, which is a partnership between the community and Microsoft to build controls, services, helpers, extensions, basically anything that helps any Windows developer out there to make better apps or more powerful apps.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
So is this like a free tool that's available and I could just go online and start consuming and using some of these services?
Right, yeah, it's completely open source and it's available on NuGet. We have about 15 different packages that developers can start using right now.
Yeah.
And anybody can contribute to it. It's all open to anybody, really.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. So how do I get started with this? Like, where do I go?
The first thing you can do is, just to get started, we have a sample app. You can get it from the Windows Store. So if you go to the Windows Store, I can show you what it looks like in the store here. And you can just go to the store and just search for the Windows Community Toolkit sample app. Windows Community Toolkit sample app. And then you'll be able to download it directly there. And what this gives you is just an overview of everything that's inside of the toolkit.
Okay.
We have, if I show it here, you can see in the top bar we have controls, animations, services, notification helpers, different helpers, brushes, extensions, parsers, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of goodies that anybody could have wanted.
To use.
Yes.
So exactly. Like this sample app kind of has like a lot of the different things that are in there, and then
right.
It kind of just shows you how to use them and how to get started.
Exactly. If you just want to learn how to use a specific control, you can start playing with it immediately. So for example, let's say I want to play with a new control we just announced, which is the Infinite Canvas.
Okay.
If you want to start playing with this, you can see what it looks like and start messing around with this. This control specifically allows you to do inking and text at the same time, and it's infinite.
Yeah.
So you can infinitely scroll with this, and it's all virtualized. So it's something that developers wouldn't really, you know, be able to develop easily.
Yeah.
It's not something simple to develop, but we provide it out there out of the box. And you can do things like, you can look at the XAML, and you can start immediately editing the XAML in here and start messing around with it and copy it directly. Or if you just want to look at the documentation, you can look at it directly from the sample app. And let's say you're on a plane, there's no internet, this is all offline, so you can start messing around with this and be able to kind of get started with any of these controls immediately.
I really love that model, how I could try out this, I could try out like the control, mm-hmm. but then I could also look at the docs and I could look at the code mm-hmm. right in the same place.
Right, we thought really hard on how to make this experience better of a developer just getting started from not knowing what's in the toolkit to start using it immediately into their apps. So make
right.
it really easy. Without even having Visual Studio, you can start actually developing your application just by using the XAML in here. You can start, you know, changing the colors or adding more elements, and you can see it right in real time what happens.
Oh, that's really cool. So I can edit it, I can change properties, and
right.
and I have see like a live change in that
right.
section
I can,
over there.
Like for example, if I go to the adaptive grid view here, I can just change the properties here directly in our properties panel.
Nice.
And then as I switch to XAML, those properties also already apply to the XAML. And I can just start changing things here. So if I want to change the background to red, it would actually just change it to red or border brush to green. And it will make it green. It's hard to see here because it's not there, but you can actually see it. It's green.
Right. Nice. I like
yeah.
that. Cool. So what other controls do you have that you might want to have a
second
look at?
Recently, we actually changed the name from the UWP Community Toolkit to the Windows Community Toolkit.
Oh, okay.
And the reason why is up until a few months ago, the toolkit was only for Universal Windows Platform developers.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, we added controls to also support WPF and WinForms developers.
Okay.
We want to make it easier for any Windows developer to start using the toolkit. So one control I want to show you here is the web view. So in the last release, 3.0, we added a web view that's based on the Edge rendering engine.
Mm-hmm.
And this web view control can work on WPF and WinForms applications.
Okay.
So if you're already using like the web browser inside of your WPF application,
mm-hmm.
you can just replace it with a web view and kind of have the same same properties, similar properties, but use the new rendering engine and get benefits of that. So those are some of the things we've added there. And you can get this directly from NuGet. You can start using it. And we're looking to add more and more of these controls in the future that you can use in WPF and WinForms.
And that's pretty cool, right? Because we're not really adding more features to IE anymore, but we are adding more features to Edge.
Right.
So as those update, like we'll get those features inside of the controls as well.
Yeah, all the new standards and everything that's coming up in the web world, it's all being updated in Edge. And developers that are still using WPF and WinForms, and there's a lot of them, still want to be able to take advantage of those standards. Right. And this is the best way to do that.
Cool. Yeah. Let's take a look at it.
So it's right here. I've actually just dragged it from the toolbox. I had it added to from NuGet. It just shows up in my toolbox. I dragged it. I added a source. And that's pretty much it. And I can just start this. It's right now it's pointing to the Channel 9 application. So all it does is just loads the website. But it's like you would expect to use the web view on UWP or any other platform. It works the same way. You get the same events, you get the same properties, and it's really easy to use.
You know, I think, so I haven't built a lot of desktop applications, but in the ones that I've seen, a lot of people really seem to love to use this web control inside of their desktop apps. Particularly when they're talking about like embedding websites or adding some web-based functionality to their controls, like it seems to be pretty popular.
Right, mixing the web world and the native world is something that a lot of developers do because there's a lot of stuff they've spent a lot of time investing inside of their web services, or they're using third-party web services that they can't really re-implement natively.
Right.
It's a great way to actually do that inside of your applications.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Now moving on, I can show you some other controls we've just added. One thing we do with the toolkit is we try to bring controls the developers need for developing on their any UWP application.
Yeah.
And there are things that existed in WPF that don't really exist in UWP anymore. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of brought some of those controls into UWP. So for example, we just recently released the Uniform Grid. If you're a WPF developer, you've already used Uniform Grid.
Yeah.
And you can now use the Uniform Grid inside UWP through the toolkit.
Nice.
Or things like the menu. If you've ever used menu, which probably most developers that have done WPF have used the menu, you can use it now in UWP application, et cetera. So, and all of these controls are available. You can take a look at them through the sample app, kind of play around with them immediately.
Nice. That's very cool.
Yeah.
So what else do we have inside of the toolkit that we can
make
use of?
So one of my favorite things that we provide on toolkit, and it's my favorite thing because I kind of mostly focus on this, is the animations.
Okay.
Animations are something that a lot of developers don't think about when they develop the applications, and it can give you a lot of, can improve the experience of your applications quite a bit if you have some nice motion inside of it.
Right.
And we spend a lot of time thinking how we can make it animations easier. So for example, if we have helpers in here. So if I want to just grab an element from my XAML and just say I want to rotate it, or I want to apply animation where it rotates and then kind of changes the offset and then translate and skews, I want to be able to do that, and doing it right now, it's not the simplest thing to do.
Yeah.
And we created this API that allows you to do this. So you can do it either through XAML. You can just add a behavior to kind of just offset an element and apply a quick animation. Or you can also do it through code. So for example, I can just show you the documentation here. If I just want to, let's say, offset this element, I can just say element, just grab a reference to the element, just say offset. Offset it by that much and just start the animation.
Right.
And it'll just run the animation, the element with offset. You can await this action. You can actually subscribe to events to it. But what's even cooler to this is, which is not shown in the sample app here, you can actually stack multiple animations and you can await multiple animations and run them at the same time. So for example, here I'm at the documentation on Docs, on Microsoft Docs.
Sure.
And I can actually show you we have a new API called Animation Helper. Sorry, it's called the Animation Set. And this allows you to take all the animations that we have inside of the toolkit and just stack them together. So for example, if you look at this animation here, what this does, it takes the UI element. It first, it blurs it and fades it at the same time. After that's done, it fades it by applying all these properties, sets the duration on everything but to 250 to 100 milliseconds, and starts the animation. So the animation would blur and fade. It will wait until that's done, and then it will actually fade again to a different value, and then it will complete at that point. So it's very easy. With one line of code, you can have this super powerful animations inside of your application.
Right, and that's really important, right? Because like you said, like animations is something that developers are usually a little bit scared of, right? Because they're like, well, hey, I'm not a designer. and I don't want to do the math to calculate like coordinates and the transitions and whatnot. So we give them simple APIs, then they're more likely to be like, okay, well, let me try it and let me kind of get involved in it and see how I can add it to my application.
Exactly. And a lot of developers don't even know that a lot of these APIs actually exist in the Windows platform already.
Yeah.
Like, for example, one API that exists natively in the platform is called Connected Animations.
Okay.
It's a way for, if you have same element on two different pages, mm-hmm. and you want the element to kind of just animate to the new page. Navigate to a new page. I want this element, instead of disappearing and appearing again, mm-hmm. I want it to kind of pop out. Then old page goes away, new page comes in and kind of goes back to wherever that page is. Mm-hmm. So we actually wrote helpers to make this easier for developers. So for example, here, I have three pages. I can just, as soon as I navigate from one page to the other page, you can see the elements kind of just goes from one page to the other page. It doesn't just disappear.
Right.
And at the same time, it kind of just goes back to it. So if you follow what happens when I click on this element, you notice that also the header content also kind of moves along with that
right.
element. So how do you actually do this in UWP? Now, there's APIs you can do this through code behind, and they're actually not that hard to do. Mm. Just a lot of developers don't know about them. But we actually made it a lot easier even if you, through XAML. So for example, what I can do is, let's say I have my first page, and I have my border element here, right? I can use the animation, connected animation helper that we have, and just assign it a key. Just mm-hmm. give it a key called item. On the second page, I have the exact same element, and I can just give it the exact same key, and that's it. Next time you call page.navigate, this our animation helper will kind of do all the calculations for you, will know where to go from one element to the other element, and kind of just animate the element there.
Nice.
Or the same thing, if you want to attach another element to the element you're navigating to, and you want all these elements to navigate as a group, or kind of move as a group, you just anchor it to the existing element, just like we do here in the anchor element. Or if you have a list and you want to navigate like here, you want to navigate from this list that I clicked to the new page, you can do the same thing. You just assigned a list item key on the same thing, and you just have the same key on the next page, and the element will kind of just navigate there as well.
Nice. I really love like this in sample development experience, so to speak, I guess.
Right.
Like,
it's really easy to demonstrate. I don't have to open multiple Visual Studios and kind of just get started. It's really easy to do.
Nice. Yeah, I really love that.
Right. And so we have a lot more of these. So I encourage developers kind of just download the sample app, kind of just start playing around with the different things we have here. I mean, we have things like implicit animations. So if you want, instead of having to write the animations yourself, you want things to happen when the offset changes, you change the offset from 0, 0 to 100, 100. Mm-hmm. Instead of just jumping, the element can just animate to it.
Right.
So we've added some of those helpers in here through XAML. So you could just say, for example, here, what I've added implicit animations for the show. What this means is when the element becomes visible, just run this animation on it. So it would translate it and change the opacity to it. And I've done the same thing for hide animation. So if I change the visibility on the element in the code behind it, just say visibility collapsed, it just runs the animations automatically. I don't have to run the animation myself and remember how to do that.
Sure.
So there's a lot of these cool things in there.
So one thing I know that people are always concerned about when you talk about animation specifically mm-hmm. is always the performance, right? Like, how does it affect the performance of my application?
Right.
How, like, so if I was supposed to start adding some of these inside of my app, like, how would that affect, like, the running of my desktop?
The great thing is that we take advantage of the composition layer, the visual layer of mm-hmm. the platform, which is a very performant layer that lives on top of the actual framework element. So it uses the actual hardware-accelerated animations that are part of the platform to run these. So you shouldn't see a huge performance hit by using these animations. We continuously, put effort into making that platform easier on the platform side, and we just take advantage of that improvement inside of the toolkit.
Cool, that sounds pretty good. All right, let's go ahead and see what else we got in this
toolkit. Yeah, so moving on, recently in the latest release, we also added some new controls for accessing the Microsoft Graph. We continuously add more support for more things in Microsoft Graph. We just recently added support for things like accessing the device history, et cetera.
Yeah.
We added controls to be able to easily add support for Microsoft Graph in your application. So if I want to have a user log in, they can just click a button and they can log in. The developer doesn't have to worry about how to talk to Microsoft Graph or anything like that.
Yeah.
So for example, we have this control that automatically allows you to sign in or sign out just by adding. You don't have to build this UI yourself.
Sure.
Or if you just want to, search for a user on side of your Active Directory. For example, I can search for you. I'm logged in with my Microsoft, my corporate account here. And I can actually directly find you because it talks to the Microsoft Graph for me.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about how to actually do that communication immediately. So we have four new controls that we added this release, and we're planning to add more controls as well coming up in next release to make it easier for developers to access these.
That's pretty cool. And then you mentioned again that some of these, a lot of these are open source, right? So if you had like other
all
teams
of this is open source. Or everything that I'm showing you right now is all open source. Everything is on our GitHub page. Developers can go look at this immediately. Everything that we do at Toolkit has to be open source because we do it in collaboration with the community, right?
Yeah.
It's not something that Microsoft does alone. We do it. A lot of stuff I showed you is actually built by the community. We didn't build it. We built it. The community built it.
Oh, cool.
And we're kind of leveraging that.
So we're seeing like continuous contributions and bug fixes.
Continuously,
and
yes. I would say 80% of all everything in the Toolkit is done by the community.
Nice.
We kind of have a core community group of Microsoft of MVPs mm-hmm. and other members that we kind of get together. We decide what goes into next iteration. And we kind of work on it together. We have other developers coming and they kind of submit bug fixes or they actually submit whole features. And then we have a discussion on GitHub and we decide what goes in and what doesn't go in. It's all done in the open.
Nice. That's awesome.
Now, I mentioned the Microsoft Graph controls, but we also have services to access the graph, for example, directly through your code behind, or you can access things like LinkedIn service, or you want to access Twitter, or you want to access OneDrive, Facebook, or Bing. We have all these services developers can take advantage inside of their application. And what we recently started doing is actually because a lot of these services don't actually require to be on Windows. You can actually run a lot of this code on .NET like standard proper or .NET Core. We started moving them to .NET standard packages. So even developers that are targeting Xamarin will be able to access a lot of these services. So for example, the Bing service, the Microsoft Graph service, and the OneDrive service are already in .NET standard packages.
Yeah.
So any developer can take advantage of those. And we're moving forward to kind of move a lot of that code that can be taken out of UI-specific packages to
More focused individual packages. Right. I see you have a lot of interesting ones here, right? So like there's Bing, there's Facebook,
right.
You have Twitter, you have OneDrive,
right.
Microsoft Translator.
Exactly.
And so if I wanted to, because all these are open source as well, right. If I wanted to do something for cognitive services per se, right. Like I could add a cognitive services
Absolutely.
Service, right?
Absolutely.
And I could add it there.
We actually work really closely with a lot of the teams that build a lot of these services, Microsoft services internally, and we work with them. So for example, we work with the Microsoft Graph team directly mm-hmm. to kind of make this service better. The cognitive services that you mentioned, they actually already have a service that they've created themselves
oh, really?
That's already open source out there. So we talked about putting it in here, but it's already out there, and developers are using it, so it already exists.
Got it.
Other somewhere else. That's it. And I talked about moving more things to .NET standard. We mm-hmm. also have things like parsers in here that are already .NET standard. What we decided to do, for example, we have a control called the Markdown Text Block, which allows you to kind of have Markdown and just display it and just render Markdown, which it's not that easy to do.
Right.
And we actually recently split up the parser from the UI. So if you wanted to take the parser, you can actually run it on Xamarin, mm-hmm. write the UI on top of it, and that way you can have a shared code where the parser just parses the Markdown you give it, and then you can actually just render it differently on different platforms.
That's really interesting. And you said, again, like all of these, their own individual packages, right?
Right. So everything's, we have about 15 different packages. So if you just want to get just the parsers, you can just get the parsers. So you don't have to take any of the other packages.
Any of the other stuff. Yeah. Nice.
Exactly. And then more recently, we actually even started adding talking to a lot of different teams within Microsoft, mm-hmm. especially in Windows, to kind of start shipping a lot of their APIs out of band from the platform. For example, the notifications team that's mm-hmm. in Windows is shipping a lot of the notification helpers that don't really belong into the platform as part of the SDK, but they actually need to be out there. Mm-hmm. And they ship this out of band through the toolkit. So they have their own package that they ship that provides helpers for creating toast notifications or live tiles. And you don't have to actually run this code on UWP. You can actually run this, for example, on your ASP.NET site. Render that XML because it's just XML.
Yeah.
And then just pass it on to your application and just pop it up.
Right.
So this code actually runs out on .NET standard as well.
Nice.
Or for example, the Gaze team, the iGaze team, just recently added a new library as part of the toolkit that allows you to use iGaze. So if you have an iGaze device, like a Tobii device on your device, you can actually use that device to interact with your UI on your application. So you can build XAML, you can add a couple of extension properties to it, and then all of a sudden, if you have that device, you'll be able to kind of click things with your eyes and dwell on things and do all kinds of things that people that use those devices are used to it. And it really helps with not just accessibility, but gaming, et cetera.
Sure. Yeah. One of the other things I really love about this is the fact that because you split out all these different services, it's almost like it's not just about Windows, right? Like it's just code at that point.
Right.
So like you said, I could use it on the Windows desktop, but I could use it on my, my Xamarin apps, and I could even use it in my ASP.NET apps as well.
Right, exactly, yeah. Our focus, we're called Windows Community Toolkit because most of our focus is on Windows.
Sure.
But that doesn't stop us to actually provide or to provide packages that don't work just on Windows, that work everywhere. And you know, it's easier to provide these packages for everybody because more and more developers start contributing to it and make the product better.
Sure, that makes sense. I mean, if you take a, take the Markdown one, for example, I mean, there's nothing Windows-specific about Markdown, right? Like, everybody could use it.
Right.
So it makes sense that it can be an independent package that doesn't have any of those Windows concerns.
And we're going to move forward to do more and more of those things. We're still investigating what we can move to .NET Standard and what can be used by more developers.
Yeah. Nice. This sounds really awesome, man. So why don't we go back and show people, like, you know, where we could go to kind of get some of these things?
Absolutely.
Maybe even like the GitHub site and whatnot that it could go
Absolutely, yeah. So if you go to aka.ms/Windows Toolkit, you can get directly into our GitHub. Mm-hmm. And you can look at, you know, all of our issues and the current pull requests that are happening right now. You can look at the code for every single package that we have. The README actually goes through our automatic builds. You can look at the documentation directly on Microsoft Docs from here.
Yeah.
And you can just, you know, it's already all there on Docs. And Docs is amazing for this. It just makes it super easy for us to contribute to documentation, the community to contribute to documentation.
Yep.
It just makes a lot more sense to kind of integrate with the Docs directly. You can get to the NuGet packages from here directly. And you can just look at the code for every single feature that we have on here.
Yep.
Animations, brushes, et cetera. It's all available on here. So if you want to get started with contributing, we have a contributing.md, just like any open source project would, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can take a look at what our guidance are. We're under the MIT license, and the toolkit is actually under the .NET Foundation. Mm-hmm. So if you are already contributed to .NET Standard, this is going to be really easy for you. It's going to be really simple to start get started contributing. You just have to follow our kind of naming conventions and just our file structure. But other than that, it's really easy to do it.
Cool. That's awesome, man. Well, hey, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about this.
Of course. Thank you for inviting me. This is always fun.
Appreciate it, man. And there we just learned all about the Windows Community Toolkit here on another episode of the On.NET Show.